that's a story for another time.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, I really hope they bring it back. Oh, also, I wanted to bring up one thing about the music.
Yes.
Wasn't the music in Crash to Insanity used for that meme of the stormtrooper?
Oh, the air humping stormtrooper?
Yeah, wasn't that Crash meme? Okay, I thought it was, but I wasn't exactly sure, and I wanted to confirm. So, if you've ever seen that meme, you'll listen to Crash to Insanity's music.
For people who don't know, it's a YouTube meme. It's one of those stupid YouTube videos that's like, I bet you can't watch this without laughing. And it's just it's a stormtrooper pelvic thrusting, like, on repeat. And it has, like, one of the main themes from Twin Sanity just playing in the background.
Yeah.
It's incredibly juvenile, but it's kind of funny, too, at the same time.
It's so juvenile, and it's fun.
Hey, guys, and welcome back to the Gaming and Collecting Podcast. On this episode, me and Alex are going to be taking a look back at another one of our childhood consoles, the PlayStation 2, also known as the greatest selling video game console of all times. Now, for this retrospective, we're going to be looking at a bunch of the games we personally played back in the day that were kind of more, not quite, you know, like the major, like, successes of the time, but more kind of the hidden gem, well, not really hidden gems, but more kind of like just the hidden kind of things we remembered from back in the day. And that we really have the most nostalgia for, honestly, in the end. Because really, that's what this podcast is truly about. But anyways, guys, thanks again for joining us as we discuss the games that shaped us. So, how you been?
I've been living. It's been a week. It's been a busy week.
Yep, and
I went on
still got one more day.
I went on a field trip today.
So a trip with your boss.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Yeah, we went to a job site.
That's fun.
And the mechanical room looks like it's gonna be a nightmare. Woo! Asbestos. Woo!
Hazmat. Woo!
So it's gonna be a great time. But
right.
Yeah, I saw, like,
So what are you drinking this fine podcast?
I am drinking buttercream Chardonnay from California. It's a wine. I got it at Total Wine because it was in the favorite section and it looked intriguing, so I got it. It doesn't taste like buttercream, but it is a nice wine. And I do recommend. Yay. What are you drinking?
So, coming from the non-wine drinker, I am currently drinking a Harpoon Dragon Weiss.
Ooh. Is it good?
They're good.
Okay.
It's like a sour, it's like a sour beer. It's pretty good.
Ah.
It gets the job done.
That's all that matters. I will say about this wine is, you go first.
Well, I was going to say, other than that, this week's been pretty standard, mostly working. I'm suddenly, like, really busy again, so I'm just kind of... I was doing experimental jobs, and now we've figured them out, so now I'm back to just being bored because everything's running so well again.
Aww.
So, you know.
I hate when that happens. Well, I mean, it's... I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
What? So, also, this week, I totally thought yesterday was Tuesday all day until, like, our mother pointed out that it was, in fact, Wednesday yesterday. And I truly thought it was Tuesday. And I'm just really discombobulated. I don't believe tomorrow's Friday. I don't accept it. It doesn't feel right.
See, I got paid today, so I know exactly that it's Friday.
Ah.
I mean, it's Thursday and tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah. I'm also doing the podcast
today. At the time of recording.
Doing the podcast today is a little discombobulating. But I might feel like death tomorrow, so we're doing it today. Wow!
Yep. I mean, other than that, I've mostly just... I haven't done a whole lot this week other than work. I'm mostly trying to catch up on certain shows.
Oh, what have you been...
Doing...
Yashahime?
Well, that's finished. Oh, okay. So I'm caught up on that until the next season comes out.
Okay. What else have you been watching?
I took a break from Full Metal Panic because I'm just not feeling it right now. So.
Yep.
I don't know. It's I got Yu Yu Hakusho there. I've got Fruit Baskets. Got like a shitload of Sentai Filmwork stuff that I could watch at some point. But
yep.
Yeah, it's one of those. I know you're rewatching One Piece again.
So some more episodes got released, so that was exciting, but I kind of want to wait to, like, marathon a whole bunch again, so I'm waiting, but now I'm going back and watching, like, my favorite episodes again with, like, the best, like, fight scenes and the best, like, so I'm just going back and watching the greatest hits, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, but they released more episodes, so I can watch more. Oh, but also, if anyone listening is a fan of the manga Berserk slash anime,
the guy passed away.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter this morning, and I was like, oh, that's so sad. Because Berserk, it's a very good manga. The last anime season was not so great, because they tried using the 3D animation, but the manga is excellent, and the original show and the movies they made are really good, so it's a shame someone passed away.
It's unfortunate. I saw it was all over Instagram.
Yeah.
The guys at Newbery Comics had brought it up. Yeah. I mean that's another one I gotta watch, so.
Yeah. It's good, it's very dark, and it's very gory. And dark. Very dark.
Yep. A lot of animes are dark, so.
Yeah. But this one, like, I will say it, like, it gets dark.
Yep.
You'll know when you make it to the episode. That's, like, the best, or movie, whichever platform you watch it, but, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, I also wanted to bring up, I'm officially converted.
Oh? To?
So, let me explain.
I was like, two.
So, a couple years ago, I got my hands on an original Xbox.
Yep.
And it was mostly just to play, like, original Xbox game exclusives that I missed out on back in the day, like the Halo series and, like, a ton of, like, Sega stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just a whole bunch of games that I didn't get the shot to play.
Yeah.
So, I've been recently, a lot of my old PS2 games, some of them are, I mean, we had these things. We had the PS2 for so long.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of our classic, like, childhood games.
We played the shit out of them, yeah. So they're like,
yeah, they don't work as great anymore. And rather than replacing them, I've decided I'm going to get the Xbox versions. A, because they're cheaper. And B, because, you know, I might as well try them out on this new system I have that's just sitting here.
Yeah.
So, kind of leading into our topic today, I just recently picked up a copy of Simpsons Hidden Run on the Xbox.
Yep.
And my god, it's bizarre how much better it plays.
Oh, really?
On the Xbox.
Wow.
Like, it's smoother, the load times are significantly shorter, the
yeah.
controls feel tighter, it's like, wow.
Wow.
So, our topic today, by the way, is we're talking about PlayStation 2 games that we grew up with.
Yes.
But, I mean, dang. The Xbox was significantly more powerful than the PlayStation 2, and it shows with some of these games, because
wow.
I'm having a blast. It's funny, though. It actually, a lot of my, like, exploits I did in Simpsons Hidden Run on the PS2 don't work on the 360 version, so I actually have to, like, figure out how to play certain things that I always, like, used to, like, hey, cheese back in the day.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's cool, though. I mean, going back to it, I mean, it's also, I got the version I got is the garish Platinum Hits Edition with, like, the ugly silver box border that's obnoxious.
Wonderful.
Not quite as obnoxious as Player's Choice on the GameCube, though, with the bright neon yellow, but
blech.
Honestly, we could probably do an entire podcast on greatest hits compilation re-releases and stuff.
Oh, yeah. We could definitely do that.
That's for another time.
Another day.
But anyways, moving on to our topic, I guess since I brought it up, Simpsons Hit and Run.
Woo! I remember playing that game together. Well, mostly me watching you play it, but I think there's two-player, right? Sometimes?
Actually, before Simpsons Hit and Run, I think we should probably talk about Simpsons Road Rage.
Oh, I might... I'm confused.
So Road Rage was the one that was just the driving?
Oh, okay. I don't remember that one as much.
So, because we didn't play this one nearly as much. Mm. So Simpsons Road Rage was like the first Simpsons game to release on the PS2.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like 2001, and you got to keep in mind, the PlayStation 2 came out in 2000. So this is like a very early game on the system, and for all intents and purposes, Simpsons Road Rage is literally Crazy Taxi.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, it is the most blatant of clones you'll ever see.
Yep.
To the point where Sega actually sued Fox and EA.
Did they win? Or did they settle? Oh, it was settled, okay.
I believe it was settled out of court. I believe in the process, though, I believe Sega actually trademarked, you know, the little... In some games, you have that little arrow on top of the screen that points where you're supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a Crazy Taxi innovation.
Hmm.
And I guess Sega kind of, like, patented that or something and basically made it so other companies couldn't use that.
Without paying them, like, a royalty.
I don't know if it was a royalty thing, but in turn, well, because they couldn't use that,
if it was
a lot of companies...
they'd have to, like, license it out to someone. So if someone wanted to use the patent, they'd have to, like, license it. So they probably didn't have it licensed, so that's
but
why
rather than pay for it, a lot of companies just developed superior options, like in-game mini-maps and, like, on-screen, like, curses and stuff to get around it. So in reality, Sega just basically innovated the game industry by being Sega.
That's so funny.
But that game, Road Rage is actually is pretty fun. I mean, it's literally, if you're a Simpsons fan and you like Crazy Taxi, it's like a match made in heaven.
Yep.
Because it's full of a ton of, like, nostalgia and everything.
Mm.
And, like, tons of, like, little inside jokes. But the studio that made Road Rage actually also made Hit and Run, Radical Entertainment.
Yes, which is the one I know better.
Yep. And Hit and Run is often considered one of the greatest licensed games ever made. Like, it's usually in everybody's, like, the TV trope, no problem with licensed games. That's usually one of the poster boys. Like, it is a phenomenal game. And similar to Road Rage, it is basically a clone of Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
But Simpsons, so... Honestly, the game's fun. Like, it's split up into a bunch of missions. And you kind of do objectives through each one. There's, like, a whole, like, story going on in the background. All the Simpsons voice cast comes over. I believe they got writers involved as well.
Oh, really? Wow.
And it feels like you're in the Simpsons world. And it's fun. I will admit, though, towards the end, that game gets brutally hard.
Mm.
Like,
no, I remember, I remember watching you play and, like, getting super frustrated and, like, having to replay and replay and replay. I remember that.
Oh, yeah, because the final four missions are ridiculous.
Isn't it like Mr. Burns? Like, you have to drive through the power plant, Mr. Burns, something related to that?
Mr. Burns isn't really involved. It's more you have to go from the power plant and get to the school in a very strict time limit with a very sensitive barrel of nuclear waste on the back of your car.
Oh,
if you so much as tap into something, it flies off and you fail the mission.
Yep.
And you have to do this, like, four times. The first two aren't so bad.
Mm.
The second one is a pain in the ass because you have to, like, avoid, like, this, like, alien, like, muscle car that chases you around.
Oh, no.
And then the third one, you have to outrace the muscle car.
Yep.
And then get the nuclear waste. And then you have to, like, outrun it again. All in this really sensitive vehicle, because by the last two missions you don't get to pick the vehicle, but the final missions is ridiculously, like, a very loose controlling and overly fast, like, car that's, like, just a pain.
Mm-hmm.
And oh man, that's, like, one of the most stressful things in that game.
Wow. Yeah, I'm remembering that now. I remember you struggling through it and me being like, I don't know what to do. I'd be like, I think I would run away whenever you got angry. I'd be like,
Well, this was like middle school time too, so I was a lot more prone to anger and my dexterity was pretty crap.
That was your angst years. Your angst. You were an angsty teen.
I'm probably more angsty now than I was back then.
Yeah, everyone's angsty in high school. Everyone is.
That was middle school.
Middle school. Everyone's middle to high school. Everyone's just full of angst. They're just like, I hate everything.
High school. Maybe you're just thinking of us.
No, a lot of people do. A lot of people felt that way. It wasn't just us.
Yeah. Well, aside from that, then, like, another... Like, obviously, something we're not going to talk about is, we've already touched on the Nickelodeon games as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, we can say we enjoyed them back in the day, even if they're not the...
Not the greatest now.
Other than Battle for Bikini Bottom, yeah. They're not the most groundbreaking games of all time.
But they were fun, and we had great memories playing them.
They're very nostalgic looking back, but I mean, we did a whole podcast on those.
Yeah, so.
So if you want to hear more on that. But another game that was like one of our most played games on the original PlayStation, this was a co-op game, was Lego Star Wars. both 1 and 2. So,
sorry, all my memories of Lego Star Wars are just like purposely fucking off just to bug you and be annoying. Like, yeah. Purposely dying, purposely keeping... Because wasn't Lego Star Wars one of those games, like, if, like, both the characters weren't moving forward, like, the screen wouldn't progress? Was it one of those games?
Yeah.
Yeah, just purposely.
They hadn't figured out ways to, like, to do, like... They hadn't figured out ways to, like, kind of separate characters in a co-op game like that yet.
Mm.
So... But, anyways, as for Lego Star Wars, that was... Nowadays, there's Lego games for everything,
and oh,
they're,
yeah.
Like, kind of... It's insane. But Lego Star Wars, the original one, that was the first.
Yeah, that was...
Developed by Traveler's Tales.
Mm-hmm.
One of the last games to use their classic logo.
Yep.
With the, like, the raccoon little animal thing.
The little, thing on a moon. Is it on, like,
yeah.
A moon? And he's, like, fishing.
Mm. Something like that.
Yeah.
So the first Lego Star Wars was an adaption of... Ironically, the prequels, so 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically, like, very, like, toned-down, kind of, like, humorous, like, reinterpretations. Like, this is before they got really legit with the LEGO games and started including, like, voice acting and, like, going way over the top with everything.
Yep.
So everything was more kind of just, like, the humor was more based off of, like, LEGOs, so it was kind of, like... You'd have, like, they'd kind of just, like, pantomime, and, like, they wouldn't talk, and they'd kind of have to, like... It was all more visual humor.
Yeah.
In that very Lego way. Like, the characters would just fall apart, like, arms would fall... Like, just random stuff like that.
Yep.
But the games themselves are kind of, like, platformy, like, hack and slash, very arcadey feeling, very mm-hmm. easy to pick up and play.
Oh, yeah.
Super good for, like, children or younger people, like, to play along with, like, not have to worry.
Yeah.
But... One of the things about Lego Star Wars is so whenever a character dies, you lose your studs, Lego studs,
yep.
And you need those to buy more items.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have someone who's trolling and constantly dying, your studs are just going to drain like nothing else.
Yes.
Like, I remember I kicked you out of the game because you were just being too much.
Yep, I was the worst. I'm so sorry. I definitely... But that was, like, one of the only games that, like, I could really pick up and play and, like, I was pretty good at that, like, we could co-op together. But, of course, I took it too far and I had to be a jerk.
Now here's the fun part. When I finally unlocked the invincibility, like, power-up,
mm-hmm.
It changed your entire perspective because you couldn't be... You couldn't grief anymore.
I know. Why'd you do that? Griefing is my passion.
Because it made you actually sit down and play the game.
But I had so much fun trolling you.
Well, it's funny, too, that you enjoyed that game, because you're not even a Star Wars fan.
No, I don't even really... I mean, like, I don't hate Star Wars, but, like, I don't... It's not something that, like, I'll go and watch on my own.
you never cared, like...
Yeah, I'd rather watch One Piece, okay?
It's alright, I'm honestly more of a Babylon 5 fan anyways, but...
I just never really got into the whole Star Trek, Star Wars, all the star people in the sky, spaceships. I just never got into it.
So you're not a sci-fi person.
Yeah, I guess... Well, do superheroes count as sci-fi? Does that count as...
Not really.
No, okay.
No.
Cause I like...
unless they're in space, but...
Because I like the superhero movie. I don't know. I just never really could get into the whole space thing. But I think space is cool, but, like, I don't know. I couldn't get into it, but I like playing the games.
Well, the Lego games are so harmless that it's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, it was always cute, like, to, like, build the things, too. Like, you'd pick up all the pieces and you'd, like, build it, or couldn't you also use, like, the Force to build things?
So, in the original Lego Star Wars, it was only Force. Mm-hmm. In Lego Star Wars 2, they added...
The build mechanic.
A bunch of stuff, yeah. Which added, like, building and, like, custom character creation, a whole bunch of, like, different things. Like, additional, like, different doors that you need specific characters. Basically, a lot more replay value and a lot more strategic stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember playing the hell out of Lego. Lego Star Wars was, like, one of those games that I... Nowadays, there's no reason to pick up 1 and 2 because there's the complete saga.
Yeah.
Which is a PS3, Xbox 3... Actually, it's probably on PS2 and everything, too, but... Mm. I have the PS3 version for that, but... It's basically both games combined together in one package with, like, additional content and updates.
Okay, so it makes more sense to just play that.
It's the definitive version, but yeah. The first two are pretty cool to look back at, just as kind of like a nostalgic thing. Like, I still have the save data on my memory card.
Aww. So. Well, especially it was our childhood, too, so, like, you gotta look back and go, aw, childhood.
Speaking of PlayStation, like, diverting back a little bit to... You remember the PlayStation 2 intro, right?
PlayStation 2 intro.
You know, the block, like, those, like, speed, like, cubes, and it was, like, they would, like, come towards the screen, and then it would go transition into the menu.
Wait, is that
the spinning... No, that's the game.
Oh, shoot. Sorry. I was thinking of all the memes where they, like, put a clip in the...
Yeah. No, the PlayStation 2, BIOS, like, introduction screen is, like, super chill, and then it transitions onto that screen with, like, the floating, like, memory cards and then the disc, depending on what was in the system.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember intro clip, but I do remember the floating disc and memory cards.
See, if you look it up, you'll probably remember it right away. But, what I loved about the memory card, graphical interface was you click on the memory cards, and then each little icon had its own, like, 3D little thing in there. And it's amazing going back at looking at your memory cards and just seeing all those things. Because I never deleted anything, so everything's still present in there. And it's cool just looking back at it, like all the different games you played back in the day.
Yeah. Aw, that's so cute.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
But speaking of Traveler's Tales, moving on to another game that they made. After Naughty Dog moved on to the Jak and Daxter series...
Yep.
Crash Bandicoot moved on to other developers, and the first of which was Traveler's Tales.
Yes, and they
make the next two games in the series for consoles, and the first of which was The Wrath of Cortex.
Yes, and that was the one that had all the different, like, machines, right? Like, he crashed constantly. He was, like, in that little ball thing. He had the robot. Like,
yes.
Okay.
So, Wrath of Cortex is a very... We'll probably do a Crash Focus podcast at some point after Alex, like, gets a bit more experience with the series as a whole, but Wrath of Cortex is interesting.
Mm.
It's not a bad game. Like, I hate when people say it's an awful game, because it's not.
It's just...
But it's not...
It's not great, either. Yeah.
Either.
Because it has problems.
It's like a prettier looking Warped with... It's like a prettier looking Warp that's just not as fun to play.
Wasn't there, like, really long load times too?
Okay, so we're gonna...
Because that's the famous, infamous, like, load screen where it's like, and he's like free falling.
Yeah, he's falling through the air. So
I know that by heart.
Here's a fun fact. the original PlayStation 2, vanilla PlayStation 2 release,
mm-hmm.
the load times were infamously long. They were fixed with the Greatest Hits re-release, which is what we had.
Oh, okay.
That's why, growing up, I never got why people complained about the load times. Because on the Greatest Hits version, they're not short, but they're significantly shorter than the original.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because going back to what I mentioned toward the start of the show, the GameCube port also had much shorter load times, because Crash finally went multi-platform.
Mm-hmm.
Although the GameCube port suffers from frame rate issues.
Oh.
Now, the Xbox version, I recently ordered this on eBay, because I'm really curious to play it now.
Mm-hmm.
It has the shortest load times, and apparently it has updated graphics that actually improves lighting and adds different fur textures and stuff.
Oh, really? Huh.
Supposedly, I've never played it personally, so I don't know yet. So once it comes in, I'm going to give it a shot.
Yep.
Despite playing Crash on an Xbox controller is going to feel really weird, but that's beside the point.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's going to be something cool to, like, check out, because I've heard it's the superior version of the game.
Hmm.
But aside from that, as for the game itself, it's very much classic Crash.
Yep.
Like hallway designs, like you mm-hmm. know, the game's biggest problem is there's a lot of vehicle missions.
Yes, that's I remember Not, the vehicles, a lot of vehicles.
So, some people complain about them. They're not all bad.
Oh yeah, no. Like there's some that are not good, but then there's some that are completely fine.
I mean, because some of the plane missions are just like the ones from the classics.
Mm.
Then there's also the ball rolling stages. Those are fun as hell. I have no complaints there.
Yeah.
There's the minecart, which was... Okay, fun fact, there's a minecart level. That's fun fact. You can just, like, literally do nothing and you'll always win.
That's
hilarious. Well, actually, no. There's two minecart levels. There's, like, the first one, and then there's a second one where you have to race Crunch, who's, like, the main antagonist for this game. There's one where if you have to race him, you can literally just do nothing and you'll always win. Like, it's harder to try to lose than it is to win that thing.
That's so fun. Isn't, like, you end up playing, like, instead of, like, having, like, what were the characters? There was, like, the rhino, who, like, had, like, bombs. There's the tiger, and then, like, a gorilla. They had, like, all different animals. It was just Crunch. And didn't he have, like, masks? Like, he had masks that were, like, certain elements?
Rather than the recurring bad guys that first appeared in 3... Warped. They're still in this game, but they're more of stage hazards now.
Yeah.
In the ball rolling bubbles. This game has Crunch, who's basically an evil version of Crash, and a bunch of elemental masks, which are all basically... The fun fact, they're all voiced by famous actors. Like, the first one, Rocco, is... he's voiced by...
Is it?
I forget the guy's name, but it's the guy who played, he's from Back to the Future, the I forget his name, but he was like the jerk character, the jock character from Back to the Future 2 or whatever.
Yep.
He plays him. The second one, Wawa, the, water mask, that's, Arlie Ermey from the drill instructor from Full Metal Jacket, which is amazing. The fire one, I think it's Pyro. It's Mark Hamill. So mm-hmm. just Mark Hamill being Mark Hamill. And then the final one is Jess Harnell, who's like another famous VA.
Yep.
He actually was, I think he's the current voice of Crash now that I think about it. But they were cool. The interesting ideas. Some of really fun boss fights, although some of them are also kind of difficult at times.
Yeah.
Some of the gimmicks were pretty good in Wrath of Cortex. Some of them not so much. It was kind of like... The whole thing with Crash Wrath of Cortex,
mm-hmm.
when the game hits, it really hits.
Yeah.
When it doesn't hit, oh god, it doesn't hit.
It's really bad. Yeah.
Not bad, just like, ugh.
It's not fun.
No, yeah. It's boring. That's the problem. Mm. And I mean, it's not... There are way worse games out there.
Oh, yeah. No, there's... Way worse games.
Way worse games.
Superman 64, like that level game.
Also, Crash Wrath of Cortex has phenomenal music.
It does! Yeah, a lot of the... That's one thing about the Crash games in general. They have really good music.
See, Wrath of the Cortex used Traveler's Tales in-house sound division.
Yep.
And they've done some phenomenal music over the years. Like, if you actually look up their writing credits, they've done a ton of games from the PlayStation 1 era. And the music is so catchy.
I'll have to check that out.
Oh, yeah, like, listen to the soundtrack at some point. I can't wait till that Xbox version comes in, because I really want to play that game again after I finish Hidden Run.
Nice.
It's funny how this is a podcast focused on PS2 memories, and I'm excited to play Xbox.
Well, you're going to relive your PS2 memories on the Xbox, so it works.
Well, I'm getting, like, a double shot, because I'm getting nostalgia, but then I'm also getting, like, kind of this whole new, like... epiphany of gaming with the Xbox, because I missed it. It's interesting looking back at it.
No,
but
because I remember you used to be very like, I know Xbox, no Xbox, none.
So see, when you're a kid and you can't afford multiple systems,
you just get angry.
You get really into the console. you get very into the console wars, and you get very defensive. And when your console of choice is the most successful console of all time, you get kind of smug about it, and unfortunately, that's not a great look in hindsight.
Womp womp.
When you grow up and you actually can afford to buy the things you want, you kind of realize they're all the same thing, really.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't been different since the PlayStation N64 Saturn era.
Nope.
I mean, yeah, there's a significant power difference between the PS2, the Xbox, and the GameCube, but... In the end of the day, they all mostly had the same games.
Yeah, and the thing is that in the end, they were all fun to play, so...
Yeah, honestly, every one of those systems has its strengths looking back at it.
Yeah.
That's why I always say the sixth generation of gaming is, like, one of the best all time, because there was so many... Like, the PS2 era was the era where they finally... Things really started to get figured out.
Yeah.
And we've kind of lost that, but we've also... moved on from it. It's fun to look back at this era, especially because it's the one we grew up with.
Yep.
Good but times. Anyways, guys, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Woo! Yeah.
And we're back.
We're back. Woo! Yeah.
So. Anyways, so following Wrath of Cortex, Traveler's Tales would remain the main developer for the Crash games.
Yes.
And they would move production from the main studio over to their... I believe it was like Traveler's Tales Oxford was the division.
Mm-hmm. That sounds familiar. But they'd begin
work on the next entry in the series, which... do you remember the trailers for... The name of the game was eventually became Crash Twin Sanity.
Weren't they, like, live action? Like, didn't they have live action people, or am I just thinking? Okay, it did.
Not just any live action people. It was Steve-O and Chris Pontius from Jackass.
Oh, yeah! Oh,
well,
my God.
At the time, they were the Wild Boys, but...
Yep.
It was them, and they were reenacting all the different stunts that Crash and Cortex do throughout the game. I remember that, because it was, like... Wow.
It was so, but like, honestly, what?
Yeah. But honestly, it was really fascinating at the time, because it was like, oh, wait, so you're Crash and Cortex are teaming up? What? It's like, you were so confused. Like, you didn't really know what was going on. But you were intrigued to play, because A, it was a new Crash game, and at that time, I wasn't a jaded Crash fan who was so disappointed with Wrath of Cortex, I didn't want to pick up the next one. I was a Crash fan that
you
was,
were an
like
optimistic Crash fan, so
I mean, I didn't know any better, and I liked Wrath of Cortex, so I was like, yeah, let's Twin Sanity looks cool. So we got it. I got it kind of late. I didn't get it brand new. I got it later on.
Yep.
Because games were expensive back then. I mean, they're expensive now, but I didn't have money back then.
Yeah. No. So everything that you were getting was through Mother. Thank you, Mother. We love you.
But, yeah, so I got Twin Sanity, and the first thing I noticed right away, the graphics are phenomenal.
They're great.
This is the best at that time was probably the best looking Crash game ever made. Like, it is very detailed, very expansive. And the second thing I noticed right away was the soundtrack.
Oh, I love the soundtrack.
So, rather than using Traveler's Tales in-house people, they instead used an a cappella group called Spiralmouth.
Yes!
So the entire soundtrack is all a cappella. Like,
I bang my knee.
Every sound in the game is being made by somebody, like a voice, like vocally.
It's so good.
It's good. I will admit, it's not for everybody.
Oh, yeah, no. But a cappella isn't for everyone, yeah.
No. But for the kind of insane nature of Crash, it is great. Especially the heavy metal-ish songs, which are like, I'm not going to imitate it because I don't have that ability.
No, do it.
No, I'm not an a cappella person.
Do it.
It's pretty crazy right there. Oh, shut up. But, it's incredibly catchy, like, especially the main theme of the game. Like, it just worms its way into your head.
Yeah.
And it never leaves. But aside from that, the other thing I noticed right away with Crash to Insanity was they were going way out of the box with this one.
Oh, yeah.
Because rather than being restrictive hallways like the first four games were, Crash to Insanity instead implemented more of an open-ended kind of feel with, like, more expansive levels, which was actually something that Wrath of Cortex was originally going to do, but there was a lot of executive meddling that prevented that from happening.
Yep.
This one, though, they went all out. So, like, the first area you're in is kind of like an open-ended hub. And you can kind of explore and, like, find things out. Although, right away, you do start to notice with this game, it feels a very unfinished. Like, it's very apparent from the get-go. Like, there's certain, like, things that kind of don't make sense or things that are a little questionable, like...
Yeah.
Cutscenes will just randomly reload for no reason. The audio feels missing at points. And going on, you later find out this game was incredibly rushed.
Yeah. And wasn't there supposed to be, like, a lot more content to the game
well? Like, it was incredibly rushed.
Oh. That makes me so sad, because it just makes me wonder of, like, what the game could have been, you know?
Oh, well, that's the thing, too, because I guess the creator, the guy who made one of the main guys who worked on it, actually, like, has reached out to Activision and says he's interested in making a remaster of it to finish.
Oh my god, really?
I've seen reports of that.
I really hope they do that, because Twinsanity was just such, like, a fun, different concept for the Crash games, and it was just...
Yeah.
Oh,
the only reason I don't
so
think
much
it,
charm.
The only reason I don't think it'll happen is just because Crash 4 has basically... It's retconned everything after Crash 3 at this point.
Yeah.
Because, ironically, Wrath of Cortex was actually known as Crash 4 in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So now it's like, nope, not anymore. Now there's an actual Crash 4.
Whoops.
But, I mean, Crash 4 is a phenomenal game as well. That's a story for another time.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, I really hope they bring it back. Oh, also, I wanted to bring up one thing about the music.
Yes.
Wasn't the music in Crash to Insanity used for that meme of the stormtrooper?
Oh, the air-humping stormtrooper?
Yeah, wasn't that Crash meme? Okay, I thought it was, but I wasn't exactly sure, and I wanted to confirm. So, if you've ever seen that meme, you'll listen to Crash to Insanity's music.
For people who don't know, it's a YouTube meme. It's one of those stupid YouTube videos that's like, I bet you can't watch this without laughing. And it's just a stormtrooper pelvic thrusting, like, on repeat. And it has, like, one of the main themes from Twinsanity just playing in the background.
Yeah.
It's incredibly juvenile, but it's kind of funny, too, at the same time.
It's so juvenile, and it's funny.
But, anyways, getting back to Crash Twinsanity... This game's also got a wicked, wacky sense of humor.
Yup.
Like, I think the writers for it actually worked on Ren and Stimpy at one point.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, it's... Unfortunately, it's very unfinished feeling, but at the same time, it's really goofy. Like, there's some weird shit that happens in this game. Like, at one point, Cortex's brain just gets taken out of his body.
Yeah.
There's a very random fart joke just for no reason. Like, there's Spyro appears at one point.
Oh yeah,
just out of nowhere. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Oh man, it's a cool game though. Like, it's also cool because it was the first time you got to, there was like four major play styles. You had obviously Crash by himself, who was standard Crash.
Yep.
You could play as Cortex, who was, he had a gun.
He had a ray gun. It was like,
yeah, and he could shoot things. You could play as Nina Cortex, who was Cortex's daughter slash niece.
And she could like grapple.
We don't really know.
My daughter. Niece. I don't remember that.
No, it's my daughter or niece.
Niece.
It's like, what? They never really elaborate on that one, but then again, that whole game is confusing, but I don't even know if Nina still exists now that I think about it.
Maybe not.
No, she was in Crash Team Racing, but that's...
Yeah.
I mean, she was in Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, I think.
Yeah.
Either way, beside the point. But yeah, so there's that Nina's court playstyle where she has, like, grappling arms, but she can also do, like, the standard Crash, like, spin moves and stuff.
Yep.
And then the final move is the final playstyle is you Crash and Cortex teamed up.
Yes.
Where basically it's Crash has a crystal and Cortex really wants it, and they neither will side will let go. So it's like an endless game of tug of war.
Yes, and comedy ensues.
Yes.
Because I think at one point doesn't he use them as like a hammer and a sled, like.
Cortex gets used as a sled. He gets used as a hammer. You throw him places. You spin him around. My favorite thing too is on the back of the box it has a list of all the moves.
Yep.
One of them is spanking, by the way.
Oh.
So my. in the roller brawl sections, which are essentially the ball rolling sections from Wrath of Cortex, only instead you play as Cortex and Crash in a brawl.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally when you stop around, like if you stop at one point moving the ball, they'll break up and then they'll either be fighting, like strangling each other or doing something, but at one point Cortex starts spanking Crash and it's like, what the hell am I watching?
Wait, I thought it was the other way around. Whoops.
No, it's Cortex spanking Crash. It's like, what? But my favorite is the back of the box has all the moves listed, and then the one on the bottom right behind the ESRB logo just says censored. And as a kid I didn't get it.
Yeah.
But now I do. I'm like, oh.
Oh my.
As a kid I was like, why did they put the label over it? That's stupid.
That's dumb.
And then as you grow up and you realize, oh.
Oh no.
Oh, duh, they're making a funny. Yeah, this game was fun. I always remember that. I remember the ending where Cortex gets transported into Crash's brain.
Yep.
And there's just hundreds of Crash. And he's in literal hell for him.
Yep. Oh, good times.
That's a great game. I really wish was properly finished, even though it's still good in its own right.
Yeah.
Although it does get unforgivingly difficult at times, too.
Oh, yeah. No.
That damn chase sequence with frickin' Walrus. In the boat.
Yep.
That one is annoying too because it's A, you have this boss fight against Engine on top of the ship, and then you fall down and you get chased by this like walrus thing in like a chase section, but it's really difficult for some reason.
Yep.
And then after that, you have to face off against Entropy and Embryo.
Yep.
And if you die, run out of lives, you're back to the beginning and there's no checkpoints. It's brutal.
Yeah. I remember you rage quitting a couple. Well, not rage quitting, but raging at some points.
There was a couple bosses in that game that were brutal.
Mm. But it was a very good game. Good game.
Yeah. Well, anyways, transferring on from that one, another interesting game that we had was... Oh, do you remember Thrillville?
That was like the amusement park game, right?
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
So Thrillville was...
It was kind of like the equivalent of, like, Roller Coaster Tycoon for the PlayStation,
So fun fact. Thrillville was... Basically, it's a theme park management slash a building simulator.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually developed by Frontier Developments, the studio who made Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Oh, okay.
And a couple of the expansion packs for Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
Yep.
But they're most famous for making three, and they recently just made Planet Coaster, which is a spiritual successor to Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh, that's so fun.
They're really good. They make phenomenal stuff.
Yep.
But, so Thrillville was kind of one of their experiments on the consoles, and there was two games, but the one we really remember from back in the day was the first one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you make, like, a character, and then you kind of walk around the parks, and your kind of objective is you have to basically save these dying theme parks.
Yeah.
And I remember you could, like, chat with the guests, and you could actually have, like, social simulation things, and it was all fully voiced, and the character models in the game were very bad.
Oh, yeah. I remember them being very ugly.
They're very janky. But what I remember is, like, you could make these ridiculous theme parks, and then everything, and you could test them out, because that was Frontier's big, like, gimmick. You could always, like, test out the rides.
Yeah, you could, like, sit on them and be like, woo! Yep.
Well, my favorite was the roller coaster could be going nowhere, and you could just make them everyone scream, and they'd all raise their arms and be like, ah!
But they're literally sitting in one spot.
What were you going to say?
I was going to ask if you could make death coasters in that game. Could you make coasters that killed?
No, you couldn't really. It didn't have that ability. It wasn't like Roller Coaster Tycoon, the original one.
It's trash, but, then. It's trash in my mind. No.
No, but you could, like, make all the roller coasters, or you could do, like, different, you could make, like, different kind of, like, carnival rides and stuff, like, place them around.
There's, like, go-kart tracks.
Yeah, you could build go-kart tracks that you could actually race, like, kart racer.
Fun.
And there was, like, a mission kind of objective mode. It's honestly a game I want to play again at some point, just to revisit it. But
the nostalgia.
There was also, like, mini-games involving, like, the entertainment staff, the cleanup, the cleaning crew, and then, my favorite were, like, the mechanics, because you had to do, like a kind of, like, switch puzzle mini-games and stuff.
Yep.
And those were pretty cool. I never played the second one. I do own it now, so I should probably get around to it at some point.
Didn't like, people randomly, like, barf around the park and you had to clean it up? Wasn't that a feature? I thought it was. You had to hire
more janitors and train them. That's what the mini game was. You train them with the mini games.
Oh, how fun.
I always loved making crazy themes. Like, I love theme park simulators. One of my hidden joys in life.
No, I remember you made, like, some wacky ones, and looking at it now, that would never work. That would never be possible. Well,
coming from this engineer over there.
I try. I'm not a structural engineer or anything, but even I can look at that and go, yeah, that ain't gonna work.
Yep. So, the PlayStation was cool, because the PS2 was just, like, on another level for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
But another big game from that time was, you know the Xbox 360 Kinect?
Mm-hmm.
And it was considered the revolutionary, the controllerless motion controller.
Yes.
Well, the PlayStation did it first.
With the iToy.
The iToy. Oh, the iToy. I love the iToy.
Oh, my God. I think, do we have two iToys, or do we just have one?
So, bless our mother, she didn't know.
Oh.
I got iToy Antigrav.
Mm-hmm.
And you got iToy Groovin.
Yep.
Both were bundled with an iToy.
Oh.
So we ended up with two.
Yep.
One of them never got used, basically.
Yeah. Oh.
I have both of them somewhere. I gotta dig them out.
Give me mine back. It's mine.
Yeah, I'll find it for you if you want it that bad.
I don't have a PlayStation 2, but I can still put my iToy somewhere. I'll just put it up in the corner and pretend it's a camera.
Okay, I'll have to find it. It's somewhere. But, yeah, so the iToy was basically, for all intents and purposes, the iToy was just a glorified webcam.
Yes.
And the iToy was cool because at the time, the whole idea of motion controls was still relatively new. Like, this was pre-Wii, of course. So it wasn't, like, we weren't burned out on it yet.
Yeah. It was a very new concept in reality.
I mean, it'd been experimented with in the past, but the iToy looked like the first kind of legit attempt.
Mm-hmm.
By legit, and I mean, it looked like it kind of worked.
Yeah. It worked for some things, not everything.
So, we didn't have the staple iToy games, which were the iToy Play series.
Mm-hmm.
Which were. So the thing about most iToy games were they were mostly like mini game collections. And the most well known of those was definitely iToy Play. And I've played a bit of iToy Play. They're fun enough. Honestly, we should probably do a podcast do after we play those and like reflect on it. But the other ones, the ones that we had the most experience, iToy Anti-Grav was like the one iToy game that did not use the camera the same way that because most would feature you on the screen somewhere. iToy Anti-Grav like tried to be like an anti-grav like hoverboard racer, like stunt game. And it was, out of all the studios to make it was made by Harmonix of all studios. The studio who made the first two Guitar Heroes and Rock Band,
Oh, that's funny.
of all things. But yeah, and I mean, it's okay for a hoverboard racer, but it's also not really fun to play because, you know, not really accurate motion controls. Like, think Sonic Free Riders, only years earlier, but and somehow slightly better.
Womp womp, Sonic Free
Oh,
Riders.
Sonic Free Riders is a lovely train wreck, but that's for another time.
That's for Sonic time.
Oh yeah, we'll get there one day, guys. One day.
One day. Someday.
But
Not today.
no, that needs planning. But the other game, the most, I mean, we can talk about Grooving for 5 minutes because I think that's about how long we played it.
Yeah, wasn't it just like a dance game? Like it was just a.
So, iToy Groovin' or Groove, whatever it was, for all intents and purposes, that could have just been a mini game on iToy Play.
Yeah.
The entire concept of that game is so simple. It's just kind of like you move to the gestures and then music plays. It's like DDR, but not as fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we played that for 5 minutes. I thought you gave up on that one real fast. You probably had
Yeah.
more fun with Boogie on the Wii.
I probably did, and that's not saying much.
No, I need to find Boogie, by the way, still. I haven't got around to it.
Oh.
But so and the final game that we had, which is there's a good amount of iToy games, but the one out of the ones released in North America, the one that I still think is the definitive iToy game is Sega Superstars.
Yep.
This game, it's bizarre because it's such a random game that's only really known for the iToy of all things. But Sega Superstars is a, like most iToy games, a mini game compilation, but every mini game is based off of a Sega franchise. And at that point, Sega was, they hadn't run themselves completely into the ground yet. So there was a bunch of games because Sega has a lot of franchises that they don't use
Yes.
besides Sonic and Yakuza at this point, but
Yeah.
I don't think Yakuza was a thing yet at this point,
No,
but
I don't think so.
because that was a late PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah.
But so out of all the mini games, some, I mean, not all of them are good. Some of them are pretty miss.
Was that the one that had Super Monkey Ball? Was this the
There
game?
was a super there was a Super Monkey Ball game.
Yeah, I
That's not the one
remember
I
playing that for some reason.
So I remember that one because it was kind of like you had to like rotate your arms to
Yeah,
stabilize the
you had to
ball.
like, yeah, I remember doing
Basically,
that.
it was like a looser feeling version of the GameCube game,
Yeah.
but you had to use your arms. I mean, it was fun enough. Like it was cool because it was like I can finally play Super Monkey Ball, which is funny because Super Monkey Ball Deluxe came out on the PS2 like a year later, I think.
Whoops.
But it was cool doing that. The Sonic one is the one I remember the most because it was, you know, the classic Sonic, like the special stage, you're in the tube and you gotta run and collect the
Oh,
rings.
yep.
So this mini game's basically that, and you basically your arms are control where Sonic is in the tube.
Yep.
So you raise your arm and he moves up with your arm. And what fun fact about this game was the final appearance of Ryan Drummond as Sonic.
Oh, really? That's
The
funny.
original, one of them anyway. I think this actually was his final recorded game
Wow.
before he got replaced by Jason Griffith. But So yeah, so the Sonic one was fun. The Knights one was kind of cool, too. It was because you would have to, like, fly through the air.
Yeah,
I remember that one. The Virtual Fighter one was fun, too, because you'd have to, like, you could do blocks and stuff with your... It was cool, because it was the first one. It was, like, full body of you on screen. And you'd do, like, punches and blocks, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. One of the stinkers was, unfortunately, Crazy Taxi. But that's only because I still, to this day, don't know what to do for that one. You're supposed to... So that's another one where you're on screen full.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're supposed to do is, like, you're supposed to flail around and, like, scream and make noises.
Oh. Did it have a microphone?
Yeah, I guess.
Whoops.
But... literally, I never could figure that one out. Like, I'd just flail around like an idiot, and I'd still get an E rank, and I'd be like, okay.
I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing wrong? That's so funny. Yeah. You should look online, see if there's a walkthrough. No.
I've seen other people play it, and they still don't know what to do either.
Oh, my God. Oh,
so there was that. So there was that one, and then there was also a Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg.
Another game
I have yet to play, but I've heard very mixed things on. Mm. But that one was okay. It was kind of, you pushed eggs around using your hands on the screen. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the best.
Yeah.
There was a Choo Choo Rocket game that was okay, I remember.
Okay.
But the one that I remember the most was the Puyo Puyo game.
Was that like the little bean people?
That was
like
the one with the little... So they'd be like these... Multicolored beans would be falling down from
okay,
the sky.
Okay, it is the bean people. Okay, I
They're
remember.
Not really beans. They're like dot. I don't really know what they are in game.
I'm going to call them bean people. But anyways, continue. They're
basically,
like, fall.
You'd have four different like spots for the four different colors, and they'd fall at different points. And you'd put your arms out, and the thing you'd use your arms as bridges to like load them into the specific like holes. So you'd have to like kind of like let certain ones drop, let others load, avoid bombs, and it was. It was fun and very action-addicting, kind of.
Mm.
Like, it was, like, the only iToy game that I can think of that actually did interesting things with the iToy.
Yeah. Like, it really worked.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, there's one... The one iToy game that I really want to play, but it didn't release over here, was... I don't know if it was in Japan, but there was a European game called... It was, like, iToy Monkey Mania.
Oh.
It was the Ape Escape Monkeys.
Why didn't we get that one? What the hell? That's not fair.
Because we don't get any Ape Escape
games. It's not fair.
I've also recently, a side point, I mentioned in the Ape Escape podcast that I'm trying to track down all the Ape Escape games that I didn't have,
mm-hmm.
the Japanese ones. I actually have them all now, so I'm going to be talking about them on the blog pretty soon.
Woo! I can't wait to see that post.
Yeah, I mean, I still need to get a Japanese PS2 to play most of them, but...
I think you'll
be able
to.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, at some point. Money is kind of tight right now, especially because I'm visiting you pretty soon, so I gotta save some money, but...
Yeah! Woo!
But yeah, aside from that, I mean, what other good game? I mean, there was the Sims games on the PS2. We played
the herbs.
Heck out of them.
The herbs on
now,
the PS2
we kind of,
with the black-eyed peas!
Yeah, we briefly elaborated on the Sims games in our earlier Sims podcast, but that was a while ago, so I guess we can touch into it a little bit. So there was a couple Sims games released for the PlayStation 2. They were also on GameCube and Xbox, but we remember the PS2 ones the most. There was obviously the original Sims. There was Sims Bustin' Out, Sims 2, but the one that we remember the most was the Herbs Sims in the City.
Herbs, yeah.
Mostly for the DS game, but we also played the PS2 game a good amount.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was mostly just because of the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
They were in the game for some reason.
Yeah.
And that you had Simlish versions of all their
songs.
All
the Black Eyed Peas songs. Well, I remember...
It was so weird.
You know, it's really funny looking at us playing that game now, because I feel like we really shouldn't have been playing that game. I don't really think it was age-appropriate for the time, because we were basically going to clubs, and, like, the goal of the game was, like, to get into be popular enough to get into clubs so you could talk to the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
Why
were the Black Eyed Peas?
because they paid money, or they paid money to get them in the game because of advertising. But
I think they were super relevant at the time, too.
Well, yeah, that was, like, mid-2000s, so they were still relevant then.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were probably worse things we could have been playing, honestly. I mean, we weren't playing Grand Theft Auto or anything, so...
Mm. No, you played Grand Theft Auto. Didn't you have...
Not when I... No.
Dad did. I thought Dad had a copy of Grand Theft Dad Auto, and you played it.
No, I didn't. We weren't allowed.
Oh. Well, then I remember watching Dad play it. I remember...
Yeah, Dad played it a lot. But we... That was the one thing... Like, that was, like, the one game we were not allowed to play, like, period.
No touchy.
Like, Alex, I didn't play Grand Theft Auto, the PlayStation ones until I was, like, 17.
No... Wow.
And by that point, it didn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
In hindsight, probably for the better.
Mm.
But yeah, so we didn't play those. Instead, we were playing Herbs, which was, I guess, edgy.
Edgy.
You wanted to call it edgy. Mm. Ow, the edge.
The edge. Ooh, the black eyed peas, so edgy.
Yeah. Edge.
Edge.
Just edge.
Wait.
Speaking of EA Sports, do you remember our travesties of playing NASCAR 2002?
Yeah. If we'd make the ugliest looking cars.
No, I tried to make nice looking ones. You did. Yours were purple and green. You made Barney the Dinosaur cars. So, we're pretty big NASCAR fans, like, from our childhood. I mean, I'm still a pretty big fan. But, we had NASCAR 2002 back in the day, and we'd play that
so much.
And
I'd drive into the wall.
She'd drive into the wall, or she'd drive in reverse, crash. Oh my god, it was a train wreck.
You know what's funny, though? The funny part was, I was really trying my best.
Yeah. Honestly, we had more fun making custom cars back then than anything.
Oh yeah. Just like putt-putt. You made the custom. I don't know what, I'm really tired. So I'm really laughy right now.
I can see that.
What's wrong? I have so many memories of the NASCAR games. It's just being horrible at them. And you just...
Well, I always remember it was like... It was the radio people would always be like, whoa, that car is in the wall. And be like, what?
You know what's
and
so
I'd
funny
be trying to race.
My part was like, what would happen was I'd be playing, and then I'd like think I'm one car, and I wasn't that car.
Yeah. You crash.
And then I'd be like, oh, my car's going the wrong. And I remember like sometimes getting so frustrated that I would just go in reverse on purpose, and then like the race would end, and I would still have to be doing like laps.
Yeah.
I was the worst. No wonder you hated playing. No wonder we hated each other as kids.
Now, another, to wrap things up a little bit, another classic driving game of sorts was, do you remember Test Drive Off-Road Wide Open?
Maybe.
So that was the one that was like, it was kind of like open, it had like open areas and you could drive like these off-road vehicles just anywhere kind of in those like maps.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
The theme song was also, like, Fuel by Metallica for some reason. It was like,
Yeah! I was going to say that, but I wasn't exactly sure if I was just thinking of the Hot Wheels, but...
Yeah, this was, like, a really early, like, PS2 game. Like, it was on a blue, like, compact disc, not a DVD yet.
Mm.
But, yeah, this game, Test Drive Off-Road Ride Open, it's a racing game, but it also has, like, had, like, these open-world exploration sections.
Yeah.
And they were just fun to drive around and, like, explore. Like, those maps were big. And there was some crazy stuff you could find, too. Like,
It
was fun. And you could do two-player modes and just drive wherever.
Yep, and that's what we did. We just drove.
My favorite game was we'd, like, go in different places and then we'd try to find each other without screen peeking.
Yep.
And it would get nuts, like, because you'd just, like, all of a sudden I'd find you and then you wouldn't be paying attention. I'd just come in and just sideswipe you. Like, bam!
Or, like, one of us would just... by the other one would be like, hey, come back, and you start chasing after the other.
Yeah,
I remember that too.
Or you'd get stuck in a ravine and you couldn't get out or something.
You'd be like, I'm stuck, help.
Or you got hit by the train in that one level all the time.
Yeah, we did.
Because you went down the train tunnel and we're like, oh no, it's a train.
What's gonna happen? Oh, that was a good time. We had a lot of fun playing those racing games.
Yeah, honestly, the PS2 was a time.
It was great.
And it's a shame because that's just the tip of the iceberg. There was so many great...
Oh, yeah.
Even better games than that we can really get into at later times. Like, we really have to do a full-on Crash retrospective at some point.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sonic is going to happen at some point.
Yes. Definitely.
Probably can revisit The Sims. I mean, hell, there's all the Dragon Ball games, the Inuyasha games.
Oh, yeah.
Just random platformers.
All these different... Well, especially, like, I would like to do ones on, like, some of, like, the Sly Cooper, Jack and Daxter.
Yeah. Well, the reason why we left those out of this particular conversation was just because we're going to get to that at some point.
Yeah. Because those are all really good games, but I'd like to do retrospectives of those, too.
Yeah. And I mean, we got plenty of time. There's tons of games. We got tons of time to make episodes, so.
Oh, yeah.
The world is our oyster.
It is.
And it looks like things are finally starting to go up in the world.
Woo!
So.
Yeah.
That's all we can say for now.
Yeah.
But, anyways, guys, thanks again for joining us on the Gaming and Collecting Podcast.
Thank you.
You can find the Gaming and Collecting Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Anchor, among other places.
Yep.
And, yeah, thanks again for joining us, guys, and we will see you all next time.
Oh, and it wasn't as much of a train wreck as usual, so woohoo!
Yep. At least we didn't die in the end this time.
We didn't die. And there was no audio issue, so it's great. We're winning. Woo!
Yep. All right, guys, we'll see you all later.